Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, you know, one of the things I really wanted to share, Debbie and I, after all of these years, we've been married for over 30 years and been in ministry for almost 30 years. And when we first got married back in January 20th, year 2000, 1979. Sorry, Deborah. 1979. Some things took place in our life then. I was in my early 30s, and can you believe this? Debbie was just in her late 20s, and we didn't know anything about anything. She had just come back to God a year and a half earlier than that, and she'd been running from God, but she remembered her background as a child and a relationship with God, so we weren't real strong very much. And over the years, what we've done is, as most of you know, we get together all the time, every day. We have coffee together, and we sit and we talk, and we pray for you, ask God to bless you and bless your jobs and families. And we had a great prayer meeting this morning. And but most importantly, that takes place during that period of time is that we encourage each other in things that we forget. Let me say it again. We encourage each other in things that we often forget. You know, you can know something about the Word of God. You can know something about, you know, faith and love and how to stand and stuff. And then you know it enough to even preach it for years and then forget about it when the times are tough, pressure's on. And oftentimes what we do is we come into the house of God, we look for someone to give us some great deep revelation. And the deepest and greatest revelation you'll have oftentimes is that which you already know. And you need to be encouraged to stay on track with what you already know. This is one of those messages. I want to share with you something that we were talking about the other day, and we both looked at each other about the same time and said, we need to minister this to our church. We knew it was the Holy Spirit. Living life in strong faith. So simple that we have lived our life since the days that we were first married with some principles that we operate in that now in my 60s, and Deborah approaching her 60s, and four children and eight, going to be nine grandchildren coming soon. And, you know, we're just excited. All of them are serving God, and God's doing great, mighty, marvelous things. I can stand before you as a living testimony. A testimony that the Word of the Lord works for those that will stand strong in the faith that they know. Not try to find some new avenue. Not try to do something that, you know, hasn't ever been done. Or you know it, you know, and you did that last year, but this year there's got to be some new formula for you. It isn't that way. It's not that complicated. It's very simple. Living life in strong faith is what's caused Deborah and I to stand before you every time we get before you and have a phenomenal marriage, loving each other more today than we've ever loved each other, appreciating and honoring each other more today than we've ever honored. Seeing our children grow in the ways of the Lord where they're preaching the gospel to their generation and living that out, and our grandchildren wanting to do the same thing. This recession has been tough on everybody, but I tell you this, living life in strong faith is something that every one of us, when we walk out of here tonight, I'm going to give you three things that Deborah and I have done all the days of our life together, started before we were ever married. These three simple things, if you'll hold on to them every day of your life, it'll change the future and change where you're at today, but change where you're going tomorrow. It's as simple as all of that. First of all, let's define the word faith for you for a moment. A lot of times people come into a house of God like this and they don't know what I mean by faith. For an example, if you come out of a denominational background, some of you think to yourself, when I say the word faith, you're saying, well, I'm of the Lutheran faith, or I'm of the Catholic faith, or I'm of a Baptist faith, and you don't understand what we're really talking about. We are not talking about denominational faith or what your beliefs are according to some denomination. When we describe the word faith, we're talking about what the Bible describes, not a denomination. And even though the denomination may be describing the same thing, and I'm sure they are, but we're talking about faith in Christ Jesus. That's the source of what we are talking about. Faith not in ourselves, faith not in a plan, faith not in a formula, but faith in a person. His name is Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who went to the cross, died for us, rose on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit so that you and I could live out, learn and live out what this guide, this, if you will, manufacturer's handbook is telling us how to live our life. Because the Bible says, and I wish that we just put it up on the overhead, Galatians 3:11 says this. It says, the just shall live by faith. It says that you're not to live by the rules of men and regulations of men or by the law, but the just shall live by faith. Who's just? You. You, you. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you've been washed by the blood of God. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think of yourself, what you look like in the mirror, what other people call you. Doesn't matter. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are justified. The gavel, if you will, of heaven and the high courts of heaven have come down and pronounced you innocent. Therefore, you are now justified. And all the past, all the horror, all the sin, all the filth, all the garbage, all the trash has been forgiven and forgotten according to God. Oftentimes, we don't forget, and that's a lot of our problems that holds us back. We don't forgive, and we don't ever let it go. We still think of ourselves as that old rotten sinner when in fact we are people washed by the blood. And he says, the just that you, if you're born of the Spirit of God, shall do something. You're going to live a life a certain way. And live it in faith. I like what Acts, the 17th chapter, verse number 28 says. Just pop it up on the overhead. It says these words. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. If we're born of the Spirit of God and we're going to live by faith, faith in who Christ Jesus is, listen to this, faith in what he can do, faith in what he can accomplish, what he can move, what he can do in our behalf and who he is and what his plan is, we're going to have to live by faith. Then he comes along and he says, if you're going to live, here's how you're going to have to live. You're going to have to live where? In him we live and move and have our being. Everything that we do is going to be about him. Just that simple. And so when we live by faith, we're talking about an exercise of our belief system. We're believing God for something. I like what it says in Hebrews 11, chapter verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I'm believing God for something. That's my hope. You may be believing God for something. That's your hope. You do not see it in the flesh yet. You do not see it in the physical yet. It doesn't even look like it's going to come to pass. No, no. In fact, it looks worse now than it used to. Have you ever noticed it's always darkest before dawn, especially in the spiritual realm? And he says these things. He says, now faith is the substance of things over. I got my hope out there. Hopefully you got your hope out there believing God for something. You do not want to stay the way you are. You want to believe God for progress. You want to believe God for blessings. You want to believe God that if God loves you, he didn't die on that cross just so you could keep on bumping along in life. He wants to prosper you in areas of your life, in every area of your life, wants to make you successful so you could do what God wants you to do. And he says it's the very evidence of the things that we don't see. In other words, I don't see it coming to pass. But the evidence that it's going to come to pass is the fact that I got my faith in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something. You tell me what can stop God. Nothing in this planet can stop God but you and your lack of faith. If you can believe God for it and it's of the Word of God and it's not some sinful garbage, then I'm telling you, God's going to see that it's going to come to pass. He's not some big wish machine in the sky. He's a God who loves and cares, wants to provide and meet your needs. And of course, if you believe God for things that are foolish, God's not going to give you stuff that's foolish. But God is going to meet your needs over and above what you could ever imagine or think, because in him we live and have our being and move. And God wants the people to be of faith. And here we live in this world where everything's falling and failing around us. Stock market's never been worse. The market for loans have never been worse. Houses have dropped in our area 45 or 50%. People now owe more on their house than when they bought it. What is that all about? Now you listen to an old man who tells you something. You hold on and you put your faith in Christ Jesus. I promise you, you will see this market turn around. In all of my life, I want you to know something. I have experienced things like this all the time, and it will turn around. Here's how. It may not turn around for the world, but it'll turn around for us that are believing God, because we got God behind us. And God, my Bible says that God opens doors no man can open and closes doors no man can close. Some of my favorite verses, and I always say that like this, sometimes closed doors don't feel so good. Feels like you fail. Feels like God's not on your side. Feels like God didn't answer prayers. But I want you to know something. A closed door is every bit as important as an open door. There's been many doors that hurt my heart when they were closed. But later on, I look back at them. I said, thank God they closed the door, because look where I'm at today. See? So I want to give you something that Debbie and I have lived on all of our life. And these are things to do to live strong in faith. And I hope you'll make note of them. And I hope, here's what my hope is I love you so much that I want to see you prosper in every area of your life. I don't want you to come to church here so that I can prosper. I'm already prosperous. I want you to come to this church so that you can prosper. That's what this is all about. This is not about me. It's about God and you. And then in that, there's me and incorporated in that also. And I want God to prosper your life. Things to do to live strong in faith. Because, you know, the Bible says there's no other way to please God but by faith. And listen to these words again. The just shall live by faith. You can't get away from it. No matter who you are, there's times that are up and you don't have to use a lot of faith. There's times that are down. We get refocused and we realize that our source is God. We start to use our faith again, and that's what this is really all about. Let me tell you these three little principles, things to do to live strong in faith. Number one, see God. What you focus in on daily is what you'll believe. If you focus in on the news, it won't be long before you're down and discouraged and frustrated. In fact, let me tell you something. I'm going to warn you right now. If you're listening to the news in America, and I don't care what side of the scale, whether it's Fox News or CNN, they just jumped and switched, if you've noticed. They just switched sides here in the last 2 or 3 months. One used to be negative, now the other one's negative. I tell you what, I cannot afford to live in that kind of a world. I've got to see God. And if you're going to sit there and govern your days by what the reports are of men, you're going to be darn well discouraged. You might as well get ready for it. And you'll never walk in the faith that you need to move the mountains in your life. It is designed to tear you down. Now, I'm not telling you to stick your head in the sand like an ostrich, but I'm telling you to put your heart in God like a Christian. And there's such a difference in that. And you've got to see God in the midst of the storms of life. Because life's going to bring storms. You're never going to get away from them. I'm never going to get away from it. It just doesn't happen that way. You just got to understand that this is a life we live while we're on this planet. There's going to be problems. And in the midst of those problems, you got to do something. You can't see the problems bigger than the God. You got to see the problem as something that God's bigger than. And you see God. Deborah and I, let me tell you, go back with me 30 some odd years in a few months. I was thinking about it today. January 19th, 1979, the day before our marriage, we had loaded up she was in a house ministry in Santa Barbara, California. I was in my apartment house in Santa Barbara. And I was in my early 30s. Deborah was in her late 20s, about 27 years old, probably 26, 7 years old, something to that effect. And we had loaded up everything we owned on a U-Haul truck. Business had closed down in Santa Barbara. It was a closed door, hurt my heart, but it was the best door ever happened in my life. And I was now headed to join my father in his business. Him and I owned a construction company. in Arrowhead, Lake Arrowhead, Cobra Construction in Lake Arrowhead, California. Dad was up there building houses, and I was funding them, and he was building them, and we'd sell them, and we were doing fine. And so I packed everything up in a U-Haul truck, didn't have anything. She scraped all her money together. I scraped all my money together. Picked her up on the day before that, on the 18th, we had loaded the U-Haul. Early on the 19th, which was on a Friday, we started to drive to Lake Arrowhead. It was storming rain. This is January. It started to snow in those mountains in November. And snow was like you can't imagine. It was coming down, clouds, thunder. And I'll never forget, as we came out the 10 freeway, it just got worse. The rain and the hail and the thunder and the lightning over the mountain. Deborah was new at faith in those days. She had come out of a denomination that never taught her much about the faith message and believing God for something. But she loved God with all of her heart. She loved me. And she would look up those mountains and say, "Man, it looks bad." I kept saying to her, "Don't look." I didn't know what else to say. We'd drive a little further and the rain come down. I knew it looked bad. I wouldn't look. Started up the mountain. So here's what we had to do. We had to start up the mountain with that U-Haul truck, get to the top of the mountain, go through the snow, get to the house that we had rented. We were going to unload this U-Haul truck, get back in the truck, and get down the hill before the snow really hit that night, drive all the way back to Santa Barbara. Next day, we're getting married. I was sleeping on the floor of my apartment because I had all the furniture gone. She's sleeping at the ministry house. And we drove, and we kept saying over and over, "Don't look." Then she'd see me looking, and she'd say, "Don't look." We didn't have any idea what we were doing. You know what? We would see God getting us through than the storms of life that we were facing. Got to the mountain, even snowed on us a little bit. But the roads were clear. We could get through. Got up there and went through the backside of the mountains, the backside of Lake Arrowhead. There was a little house that we had rented, drove down the street. There we unloaded everything out of that U-Haul van and threw it into the living room. Didn't put it up, didn't set it up. Just got it inside the house, locked the door, jumped back in the U-Haul van, went down the mountain. Got down at the bottom of the mountain, didn't know how we were going to make it. Was sliding halfway down, got down the mountain. We didn't look. We kept our eyes on God. And that was a lesson that we learned, guys, about how in the midst of storms of life, you have got to, when things don't look like they're going to work well, and they don't look good, and they don't look like it's realistic, and they don't look like it's going to happen, you have got to see God. And we have held onto that principle, even in the building of this church. We didn't know how we're going to make it, but we saw God. You got to see God in everything. I want to take you, if I may, to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Let's take a look at this scripture. I want to read it to you quick. And I want you to see that these scriptures about Jesus. And I want you to see what Jesus says to these men. Here's Jesus in verse number 23. And he says this in verse number 23. He says, "Now when they got into the boat, his disciples followed him." So he's in a boat. And they're in this on the Sea of Galilee. "And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But Jesus is asleep in the boat." Now, I love my boats. You know, I love to sail. I love boats. And I understand about the peace of a boat. There's something peaceful to me about a boat. Jesus obviously thinks the same way. He's in a storm. And he's asleep. Now, I want you to know, I've never been in a storm in a sailboat. But I can't imagine being asleep. And obviously, he's the only one asleep. So he's asleep in verse number 24. And then verse number 25 comes along and says, "His disciples came to him and woke him and said, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.'" In other words, they had their eyes somewhere else other than where Jesus had his. Amen. Jesus, in the middle of the storm, was at rest. He was at peace because he obviously was hooked up with the Father in the middle of problems and pressures. Watch this. He says, we perish. And he looks at them and he says to them, he says in verse number 26, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" In other words, these guys had their eyes on the wrong thing. And when they had their eyes on the wrong thing, their faith was considered little. How many times have you and I been in a storm in life? How many times have you and I been problems and pressures been on us? And how many times do we keep our eyes fixed on the problem? And when your eyes are fixed on the problem, now let me tell you something. You become a person of little faith. And that's exactly what happened to them, full of fear, because what they saw may be very real, but it's not the answer. The answer was coming from a relationship with God the Father that Jesus had that kept him asleep during the boat ride in the middle of that storm. Now he comes along, verse number 26, he says, and then he arose and he rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. How many of you realize tonight that Jesus will arise on your behalf because he loves you, and he'll speak to the storms of life? If you've got your eyes fixed on him. Are you following me? Now watch this. Here he comes along in verse number 27. So the men marvel, saying, who can? I love this word marvel. Everybody say marvel. They're amazed, they're marvel, saying, who can this be that even the winds of the sea obey him? Man, that's amazing. You got problems? See God. Number one, hold your faith strong. We're talking about this wonderful subject of things to do to live strong in faith. Here's number two. Hear God. First one, see God. Second one's hear God. So simple. So simple. So simple that we know it and we forget it all the time. What are you putting your ears on? What are you listening to? You're listening to the voices that tell you you're not going to make it. You're listening to the television that tells you it's recession time. You're listening to your friends that just thinking about getting laid off or heard a rumor in your business that people are getting laid off. What are you listening to? And if you don't listen to what God says and you listen to what the world says or the reports that come at you, let me tell you something. Always you will live in a world of evil reports. I don't care how good you are. You will live in a world of evil reports. Evil reports from day one at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Man, at the very beginning was an evil report coming through. And guess what? When you listen to something else other than God, you end up a derelict. You end up failing. And what do you hear? You've got to hear God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to replace what you see and what you think you hear with what the Word of God has to say. I hear that, but my God shall supply all of my needs according. Now, I'm just getting off of what I heard and getting back on what he said. Is anybody listening? So simple. While you're there in Matthew the 8th chapter, check it out with me. Verse number 5. Go backwards. Verse number 5. It says, and Jesus had entered into Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, pleading with him. Verse number 6, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home with palsy, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I'll come to him and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak the word and my servant will be healed. In other words, this guy says, just let me hear you say it. And if you say it, that's good enough. Because when you say it, God, it'll be done. How many of you realize that in the middle of a storm, he stands up, he speaks. And when he speaks, the storm gets calm. And whatever Jesus says, that's the way it is. This is not here as a history lesson. This is here telling you how to live life. The just shall live by faith. How to keep your faith strong. You're going to have to see God instead of the problems. And you're going to have to start hearing what God says instead of what people say. Or what your past traditions or what your experiences from the past were like. So he comes along and he says these words. And it's so amazing to me. He says, he goes on in verse number 9, he says, I'm a man under authority and understands that all you have to do is speak the word. And then Jesus heard it, listen to this, and he marveled. Everybody say marveled. Marvel. Verse number 10, and he marveled and said to those who follow, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Now the other ones were little faith. Here's great faith, not even in Israel. People who should have known God. Because this guy was looking for a word from God, not a result that come from their eyes or from their senses. You and I need to see God. We need to hear God. Now, the last one is simple. If I see God and I hear God, then all the time I need to go God. So simple. Here's this. I remember we're talking about this, and it's important that you get it, because things to do to live strong in faith. Here's number three. Go God. Go to God. That's what I really wanted to say, but I want you to put that up for me. Go God. It's so simple. That's number three. Do we have that up in the back room, or are we missing this? Number three is just go God, or really go to God. See God, hear God, and go to God. Because if you don't go to God, where are you going to go? Where are you going to have the answers? Where are you going to see God? Where are you going to hear from God? Did you know that you wouldn't hear about God tonight sitting at home watching Fox News or watching CNN? You came into the house of God. You got to go to God to get God. God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. In my prayer time this morning, I said, God, the people come to church, they're making an effort to draw near to you. I want you to draw near to them and touch them tonight. And that's all about this. We got to go to God to get what we need to get. Let me tell you something. If you go to God, God will meet you. That's why it says, we're right there in Matthew anyway. Go to the 11th chapter. Go ahead, pop it up with me in 11th chapter. Let's take a look at it together. Verse number 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will. Remember this simple verse. How come we don't come to him for the rest? God, we're waiting for a check in the mail. God, we're waiting for an inheritance. When am I going to get that job? Whatever happened to that promotion? If my car was just fixed, my house was just there, oh God. You're not designed to have rest from those things. You're designed because you went to God. And if you don't go to God, he says, come to me. All you are heavy laden, and I. Is that a promise or is that not a promise? I mean, why is it that we just don't go to God? We go to every source but God. God, if I could just borrow money from my Aunt Tamale. I know she's got money. I'm going to borrow from her. My Aunt Susie, she's got some too. I'll try her. Let me tell you something. You want rest, it isn't going to come from a check from your aunts. It's going to come from a check from Jesus. Just knowing that you're checked into him. That's what this is all about. Next verse comes up. Pop it up, verse number 29. It says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Verse number 30 comes along. Listen to the promise. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Sometimes it's so easy and sometimes the burden is so easy. We don't go there. We're expecting something difficult. And this called faith in Christ is not difficult. It's just something you have to do every day of your life. Deborah and I have lived by these three principles. See God, hear God, and go God. So simple. If you want a strong life and faith that's going to produce the fruit of Christ, I want you to hear the old man now. Hear Grandpa teach you something. You're going to have to do three simple things. So simple. One, see God. Two, hear God. Three, go to God. Get into a place where there's God. Go to him in your prayer closet or get into church. Don't stay home. Get into things of God and draw from the peace and the rest that God will give you. Let me tell you something. Many of you, when you came into this place tonight, were troubled. Tell me the truth. The weight of the world, the pressures, concerns. If that was you, I just want to do a little check. If you are troubled, you had pressure on you, felt something uncomfortable, but you still came to church, and I thank God because you're smart, but you felt that pressure, could you stand to your feet right now? all of you that are sitting, I want you to look around and see how many people are standing. Probably a good third of the church came in with pressure tonight. When the music started to play and you started to sing about Jesus and the pressure started to leave, how many of you started to feel the pressure leaving at that time? Sit down, if that's you. And how many of you felt the pressure leave when you started to get a hold of the Word of God tonight? And you now, you're comfortable knowing that all things are going to be all right. My goodness sakes, only a couple of you will pray for you in a few minutes that are still standing, but listen to what I'm going to say. Listen to what I'm saying to you. One third of you stood up. And because you went to God tonight, go ahead, sit down, please. Because you went to God tonight, the pressure and His peace came. One third of you, what an illustration. The rest of us need to know that. See God, hear God, go to God. Everybody say it. See God,
hear God,
go to God. One more time. Everybody say, see God, hear God, go to God. One more time. Everybody say, see God, hear God, go to God. Simple. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And His promises, I will give you rest. Woo! Isn't that good? So simple, but so we need to be reminded of it all the time. Such a wonderful thing. Let's give the Lord a great big praise if you got something from God.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.